Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. My name is Eric. This is the Eclectic DIY Show. It's the companion to my YouTube channel, also called Garden Fork. Today we're going to talk about how to buy a tractor and whether you should buy a new tractor or a used tractor. And to answer this question, I called the Wisconsin Cheese Mafia. I have Aaron from the Impatient Gardener and I have Will from the Weekend Homestead on the line here. Hello.
Hey, Eric. Hey, Will.
Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
We're great. Everyone is listening. We couldn't quite get the technology to work, so it might not be superb podcast quality, but the content is worth listening to, I think.
It's that collect call to Wisconsin that you had to make. It just didn't work, you know, technology-wise.
The string and the tin can. Aaron, you're not taking the bait here.
I have nothing to add to that. I feel like I'm sort of at fault here. It was really me who started the technology problem, so I'm just going to sit here and be quiet about it.
But you had the brilliant idea to do this show because you texted me and you said, basically, how did you buy your tractor? And I said, let's talk about it on the podcast.
Yes, yeah, so I've been waiting to have this conversation because you haven't answered my question yet. So I'm looking forward to hearing what the answer is as much as all your listeners.
Well, just withdraw many thousands of dollars in cash out of your bank account and hand it to some guy that you barely know, and you've bought a tractor.
Well, see, that's what I was feeling like it was, and I thought there must be a better answer than that. So that's what I'm coming to you tractor experts for.
Well, basically, Aaron, why don't we start with Aaron, why don't you start it with why you're thinking about buying a tractor? And for everyone, I bought a used tractor and I think Will bought a new tractor. So we can offer different experiences and as we answer your question.
Perfect. So basically, I wish we would have bought a tractor 15 years ago because we have thought about it. And the number of times we have needed a tractor, so we have either rented them or borrowed them from neighbors, although our neighbors tend to like to drive their own tractors. So when you ask them if you can borrow their tractor, what really happens is they spend like their afternoon using their tractor at our house, and it is kind of an awkward situation because now it's not just their stuff, it's their time. And
yes.
So that gets a little weird to keep asking for that favor over and over and over again. So you know, we are sort of at this situation where it's like, well, we can either go another 10 years and look back and say, boy, now we wish we would have bought a tractor 25 years ago, or maybe it's time for us to think about getting one. And I mean, I need it for a lot of like big garden projects, but you know, we're on like just under an acre and a half, which is like just big enough to like probably need one for various projects, including like dealing with trees and all that stuff. And like just a little bit small to be like, well, maybe we don't really need one. It's kind of that in-between size piece of property and stuff that we do things on. So we really started looking into it because, you know, at some point you go, they're not cheap to rent. And we have rented them for projects before. And you start thinking, boy, you know, I know it's one of those things that I think once you have it, you would use it more often than you currently use one in one way or another. So that's sort of where we're at.
Can I ask a question just to kind of get an understanding of what you've used it for before or what you plan to use it for? Because that ultimately will tell you what tractor to buy and what features, sizes, that kind of stuff that you would need to know to make a good decision on which one would work.
The main thing we've used it for in the past and the main thing I see us using it for in the future is sort of front loader type of deal, a big bucket to move materials, soil, mulch, you know, bulk materials around the yard is the big thing that I'm seeing, but also sort of moving around, like if we take down a tree or something, moving that stuff around, things like that are the main thing that I see us using it for. But I can see one of those things where if you get one, you know, might be a situation where you add like the snowplow attachment onto it. And so instead of snow blowing our driveway, we could start, you know, doing like a mini plow situation on that kind of thing.
You know, one of the big things on tractors is there's really a couple different things they're used for. The lifting and hauling, like you were talking about, pushing. And then there's a number of attachments that attach usually to the back of the tractor called three-point attachments, where you have things that spin. So blades, augers, you know, that type of stuff. Do you plan on doing anything like that down the road, or even adding like a mini excavator or anything like that?
I don't see that probably happening. I mean, maybe, but I don't really see an obvious use for that at this point.
Okay. Because I mean, that really kind of defines the horsepower of the tractor. Like if you said, oh, I want to move a bale of hay on my mini farm, you might be looking at a different tractor because maybe the bales of hay are wet or something like that, and they weigh 700 pounds. So you want something that can pick up that much, versus kind of the things you're describing fall more into the light duty side of it than kind of the heavy duty. And that's one of the big mistakes a lot of people make when they buy a tractor, is they think, okay, I need to buy a 50 horsepower gigantic machine that does all these things. And in all reality, you never even get close to using the potential of it. And because of that, you end up spending way more than you need to on the tractor.
Yeah, I would like to avoid spending way more than I need to.
So my thoughts with, before coming on the show, my thoughts were kind of laying out the advantages of buying a new one versus a used one. I mean, obviously it's price, but Will, why did you buy a new one?
I've had a number of tractors. So I've had two used tractors and one new tractor. So I started out buying used tractors, and then kind of, I'll be honest with you, I kind of would buy them. I'd do some fixing on them. I'd use them. And it's interesting thing about tractors is they tend not to lose their value. It's not like, yes, buying a boat where you buy it and it's $20,000 and the next year it's 10 because it's used. Tractors tend to hold their value. So I had bought a number of tractors where I bought them, worked on them a little bit, used them for a little while, sold them for basically almost what I paid for them or even a little bit better, and then bought the next one and kind of kept working my way up to eventually selling the last tractor I had and then getting the one that I have today.
And the one you have today is a new one.
Correct. Yep.
So there are, at least the state I live in, there are, if you are self-employed with an LLC, there are actually some tax advantages to buying brand new equipment or leasing brand new equipment. And that, if you use that tractor for a business, like Aaron, for your blog, which is a business about gardening, if you leased a tractor, there would be a tax advantage there. I don't know how great of an advantage versus the price you're going to pay every month, but that's something to think about.
Well, actually,
yeah, that's really interesting.
The other way to look at it too is, like, I'll use the Kubota tractor because I had a used Kubota and then I bought the new Kubota. The used Kubota was, you know, between $10,000 and $14,000 to purchase it. And I had to pay for it all up front. I paid it to a guy that I bought it from, used it, and eventually I ended up selling it for the same I paid for it. When we decided, well, I don't want to do that again, because sinking that amount of cash in one shot up front was just too much, especially when we were trying to do the remodel and do the other things. We'll come to find out that there are some exceptionally great deals with regards to financing new tractors. And that's actually the reason why we pulled the trigger on a new one, was because I got no interest at all for 60 months on it. And once you divide that larger payment out over a period of time with a very small amount down, it made it very affordable to actually afford a new one. And then it gave you all the warranty. It gave you basically everything new. There wasn't a lot of things you had to put into it. And then if anything ever went wrong, I just dropped it off at the dealership. They took care of it. And, you know, I got it right back.
The thing to think about with going to a dealer for the repairs is that you have to get the tractor to the dealer. And that usually means somebody's trailer. So.
Right, exactly, because that's the other thing we don't have, is a trailer, or frankly, a truck capable, at least at this point. We have trucks in the family, but we don't have one, like, currently. You know,
you'd be surprised at what you can pull a trailer with, because, I mean, we had a Ford Explorer for a long time and a single-axle trailer, and we were able to pull our Kubota around because we bought a light-duty tractor. You know, that's the thing, is you fall into all these categories because you have lawn tractors, which, you know what a riding lawnmower is. So there's a riding lawnmower, then there's a riding lawnmower tractor, and then there's the subcompact tractor, which is the size that we got. And then eventually you get to the mini tractor, the midsize, the large, and then the big farm equipment. And the higher you go up on that list, the heavier they get. So what we looked at was our tractor was 3,000 pounds. Well, to put that on a trailer and pull it somewhere, that's, you know, like pulling a boat around or something like that. So if you have a vehicle that can pull a boat, you can probably pull a small to mid-sized tractor easily on that trailer. A lot of people think, oh, the weight on them is exceptionally high. When you're on the lower scale and doing light duty stuff, the other thing that's nice about it is the tractor's usually a lot lighter.
Yeah, there we go.
Let me walk you through my experience of buying a used tractor. My good friend, who's also my neighbor, is a retired guy, and he has worked with outdoor power equipment, backhoes, and big machines all his life. And he started out working in farming and ended up working on, he would build roads. So he knows a lot about equipment. And he goes through Craigslist just to see what's for sale. And he sent me a link to I had been making some noise about maybe, you know, it'd be handy to have a backhoe because I have to hire my neighbor to do things. And I'd be like, you know, he's a great guy, but I kind of want to do it myself. But the price was always kind of prohibitive. And he sent me a link to a John Deere 1050 tractor. And it's a 1985 John Deere 1050, which is considered a compact utility tractor. I don't think it's compact at all. And it was $12,000. And I'm like, okay, that's a lot of money for me. But then I was talking to two of my buddies up there who are also weekenders. And I'm like, they were both like, wow, it'd be great to have a backhoe. And I'm like, well, why don't we buy this thing and split it, you know? So none of us really knew that much about tractors. So I worked with my neighbor who does know tractors, and we ended up, and I looked at the tractor several times, and I met with the guy, and he lived probably about 50 miles away. And he's like, look, I'm moving to Maine. I have to sell one of these tractors. I'm going to sell this one. But it had a backhoe. It had a front end loader. It was in very good shape compared to other 30-year-old John Deere 1050s that I've seen. Actually, my neighbor who I used to hire has the same tractor, and it is really beat up. So we bought it. And so for $4,000, I had a tractor instead of laying out the $12,000. But with that came a little bit of a bumpy road with my other two friends. And we're still friends, but it ends up that one of them, I didn't realize, didn't really know how to drive or use a tractor. And we ran into some bumps with that. And then suddenly, one day, the clutch started smoking and burnt out. And that added some tension as well, because it was a $3,000 repair. I got the repair done by a neighbor who fixes farm equipment. That's his business. He works out of his barn. Everyone takes their tractors there. He gave me a deal because he's my neighbor. It caused some tension within the people that bought it. And I was like, we should just have tractor school, you know? So we went over how to use the tractor. But the flip side is that bump is smoothed out. Each of us uses the tractor when we need it. And it only cost us a third of what the tractor would cost individually. And a lot of times I see people have tractors in their yard, and 90% of the time they're just sitting in the yard.
Right.
So if you have somebody you trust, or you have it up front, you know, the money end of it, it's possible to buy it with someone else. We've kind of gotten over the bumpy part now, but it was a little bumpy. Hey, would you like more of Garden Fork or more of Eric? Would you like to get it in your email inbox? I send out just about every week. I send out a little email about Eric's world and new stuff I posted. I even talk about podcasts I've listened to or just interesting stuff. And usually, almost always, at least one picture of the Labradors, Henry and Charlie. You can get that by signing up for Eric's Garden Fork email newsletter thing. There should be a link in the notes to this show. Just scroll down to the description of the podcast in your app, and I hope it's a clickable link. It should be. Or go to gardenfork.tv, and on almost every page at the top of the page should be a sign up. If you're on a mobile device, you might have to tap on there's a little menu bar, and then hopefully there it'll be a sign up. Or scroll the bottom of a post and you can sign up there. Should be a link in the app here. More of Eric, It would be fun to have you along for the ride. It's kind of more brain dump, Eric. Cool stuff. All right?
Can I ask, do you have any kind of like formal contract or anything about it? Or do you guys just kind of, is it all very, you know, handshake friendly kind of thing in terms of whatever, who gets to use it when or anything like that? Do you guys have anything formal on a piece of paper?
Well, I did it. I sent an email to I group emailed the three of us and said, look, you know, we're going to have to share this. We're going to all want it on weekends. So I think it's only fair that people ask like a week ahead. We're going to split all the maintenance three ways. There's going to be more maintenance than you think happens. Parts for it are expensive. Like, we have to put new brakes on it. The brake shoes are $400. I'll put them on. It's like a Volkswagen, you know, you just put them on. But, and then we have a running total that I email everyone, you know, a 2-gallon container of hydraulic fluid, and we have a 30-year-old tractor, so it leaks hydraulic fluid, it's like $30. And we probably go through three of those in a summer, you know. So we just keep a running total. And every once in a while, they just hand me some cash because I buy all the parts and the maintenance and everything. So
I would say that's a lot of hydraulic fluid to be going through. I think with all of the equipment we go through, maybe a gallon and a half between four different pieces of equipment in the year.
Well, it ends up we had a hydraulic hose that was leaking.
Oh, there you go.
And we didn't realize it. I mean, I actually love working on the tractor. So, but if, and there's going to be some other hoses we have to replace. The other thing I found was we have a backhoe and a front end loader, and it also came with a set of forks, which are, for people who don't know what that is, imagine your eating fork has two tines on it, and they just stick out front, and they're adjustable across the front end of the tractor, so you can lift up pallets. But we use it for lifting up trees and logs and stuff. Both my friends live on dirt roads, and if a tree falls, we go over with the tractor, we cut the end of the tree off, we lift it up, and we dump it off the side of the road, and then later on we'll go cut it up. So we've all found that you never run out of uses for a tractor once you own it.
That's what I'm thinking is exactly what happens is that I just feel like we'd be using it. We'd find a lot of things that would be really helpful to have it for if we owned one and had one sitting there, you know.
Can I give one word of warning when you're looking at tractors, though? Don't buy the first one you find.
Right.
Like, get a piece of paper and, you know, fire up Craigslist or however you're going to shop for this and just start looking at different ads, you know, and do that for maybe 30 days at minimum. And what you're going to learn is you're going to learn the vernacular that people use and, you know, what features come with what and which ones are a good deal and not, and just kind of keep watching. Because I will tell you, in the tractor world, there's a lot of scammers out online. And if you see a $20,000 machine and they are selling it for $5,000, either it's broken or it's a scam. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff out there. So, you know, one thing you can do too, like if you go to look at a tractor ever, look at things like the hoses. Are they leaking? You know, when you go there, I actually check and put my hand in the engine to figure out if it's warm, because a warm tractor starts much easier than a cold tractor. So did they fire up the tractor and run it for 20 minutes before you got there? And then when you get there, they go vroom and it starts right up. Like, look, there's no problem. But you didn't know that they had the jumper out there and all these other things to get it going. Not saying that people are doing that kind of stuff, but it happens. You know, are the safety equipment features on the tractor disabled? You know, sometimes they take off the rollover protection or the PTO shield or, you know, that kind of stuff, where somebody had modified the tractor and now all of a sudden you're buying something that potentially is not even safe to use. So that happens a lot too. So you just kind of have to know what you're looking at and know what's a good deal and not a good deal. And the only way to figure that out is by looking at a bunch of tractors.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I'm
seeing a lot of ads. I have looked at Craigslist a little bit, and I've been seeing a lot of ads from dealers who are selling, you know, used tractors on Craigslist. I see a lot of that. I see either, like, so far I found really, really crusty, really old. I mean, I don't know if you can tell much by looking at a tractor, but they don't look like they're new. I'll tell you that.
Sure.
And then a lot of used ones that are being sold through dealerships. Is that a reasonable way to go, is to buy a used tractor through a dealership, or is that probably not I mean, I'm sure it's not as good of a deal as if you bought it from a private individual in most cases, but is that a good option to consider?
Actually, one comment I'd make on that is, you know, buying from a dealer, if you're just buying the tractor, it's usually just a tractor. That's what you're buying, and you have to buy all the implements separately. When you find private parties, the price is probably the same on the tractor as you would find at the dealership, but maybe they have a back blade for it, or maybe they bought the snowblower attachment. When dealers sell tractors, they usually strip off all the extra attachments and all the extra stuff, so you just get the basic unit, because then it's less likely to come back for a repair, because instead of the tractor just being defective, now the snowblower could be defective or whatever. So when you buy from a dealership, you usually get a good deal on price, but it usually doesn't have any extra bells and whistles with it, versus a private party where you might get all the other stuff that they've accumulated over the years of owning the tractor when you buy it.
That's what we got, actually, right? Because I looked at the John Deere 1050 sells about $12,000 at a dealership or a used implement, you know, dealer. But ours came with a backhoe, a rebuilt backhoe with all new hoses and new seals, the front end loader, which is in good shape, and a set of adjustable forks for $12,000. And the backhoe alone is like $3,000 or $4,000 on the used market, I'm pretty sure. So you take all those implements, and it seemed like a much better deal. I do want to comment on the scams. They are, if you see something and it's too good to be true, it is. They have these beautiful pictures of a mid-range Kubota, and it's like $9,000. And you email them, and they email back, and they go, send me your cell phone number so I can call you, or send me your email address. Yeah. And they immediately try and get you off of Craigslist, because Craigslist allows an email exchange that I would keep up. I would not leave. And I think I sent one of them my cell phone number, and he texted me and he goes, oh, I'm out of the country right now, but if you wire me the money, I'll have my friend bring the tractor over to you.
Yeah.
And then
I ran into that same thing when I was selling my car on Craigslist too. Same deal where I got those people who were like, oh, sometimes I don't get the emails from Craigslist, so make sure you email me at this other email address or call me or whatever. So.
Right. So
I will say this.
Go ahead.
I will say this though. On Craigslist for tractors, I have been successful 3 different times selling tractors and 4 different times buying tractors and devices off of them. In fact, one of them, I bought the Kubota tractor, and the guy had a box blade and a back blade and a tiller and all these other implements, and he put it all together and sold it all. I brought it home. I got the tractor up and running and the couple issues that were wrong with it, and I sold it for the same amount that I bought the entire kit for. So now the tractor rolls off the driveway and goes away, and now I've got, you know, $4,000 worth of implements that when I bought my next tractor, I just put them on that next one. So that is something that does work really well when you're buying from private parties. You just got to watch out for the ones that are way too good to be true.
Right. I mean, it's like with anything, but they are out there, and it's always a shiny picture of a tractor, and they're like, I'm like, nah, this ain't the real deal. I've had overwhelmingly positive experiences on Craigslist. I actually helped my neighbor who helped me buy my tractor. He has sold 2 tractors through Craigslist, and he goes, Eric, you know how to do the computer thing. You put it on Craigslist. So
can I make one other suggestion on buying and selling that a lot of people don't think about? But actually, the Facebook Marketplace has become a great place to buy tractors, because the person who's usually on Facebook is actually the person, and they usually have an account and everything associated with it. So there's a lot less scammers with regards to it versus Craigslist, where it's a lot more anonymous. And actually, I bought in some implements for the skid steer through Facebook for over at the resort, and it actually has turned out to be a really great transaction.
That's a great tip. Can I ask you guys about brands? I mean, I know some of the big brands for tractors. I know Kubota and John Deere, and you guys, well, those are the 2 you guys have mentioned. But, you know, I know some of the big ones. Are there, you know, is there some brands that, you know, are definitely not something that especially if I'm looking at something that's used, that's maybe not there for the long haul? Or is that less important when I'm looking at these things than some of the other just general condition type stuff?
I know 2 brands that are good. Yanmar is a Japanese brand, and actually my John Deere tractor was made in Japan by Yanmar, Y-A-N-M-A-R. I have a Yanmar three-cylinder diesel engine in my John Deere tractor, and my tractor was made in Japan and shipped over. John Deere only makes the larger tractors now in the United States. That's what I'm told. And then from India is a brand called Mahindra, and they sell more tractors worldwide than anybody else.
And they've actually been in business for 40 years. Did you know that?
Yeah, and I see Mahindra more and more in my area. And then there are some Chinese brands that I don't know much about, but I have seen a couple people buy them.
I would say one other one to throw into the equation too. And for your application, you might want to look at what's called a mini skid steer. It sounds daunting, and I think they're called landscape skid steers. Basically, it's a skid steer, but you stand on the back of it to use it.
And oh, it has, we rented one of those ones.
Amazingly enough, I found them for ridiculously good prices on Craigslist, and it uses such a small footprint that it works really good in people's garages. That's one thing that a lot of people forget about is they want to buy the tractor with the big bucket on the front and all the big tires and everything else, and then they look at their property and they're trying to figure out where to park it or where to put it.
Right.
That's a huge thing. Actually, with my buddies, we have a standing agreement that the tractor is always under a roof, because if you leave any, I think if you leave any machine out, it's going to degrade much faster than if you put it under cover and out of rain and also UV sunlight. UV sunlight degrades your all the hydraulic hoses, you know?
Exactly.
So you get a 3-car garage now, Aaron.
Yeah,
well, right. Do you have any fences on your property?
No.
Because a lot of people don't put into the equation either. Like, I want to use this in my backyard, but your gate's only 48 inches wide and you just brought a tractor that's, you know, 60 inches wide.
Oh, right. So now, that would be a problem.
Now you have
that'd
a part
be something
of your property
I would do for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky. I would suggest buying a tractor that has a backhoe, but it might not be exactly what you need. But if you want to put in a tree that has a big ball, or you want to put in a bunch of smaller bushes, it's actually a lot of fun to dig the holes with the backhoe.
Yeah, I bet it is.
So, any more questions?
Well, that's good information. Yeah, who's got a tractor you feel like selling? No, I'm kidding. No, that was really helpful. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate that a lot. So, I mean, I just out of curiosity, I'm assuming, I mean, do you guys find yourself finding uses to use these all the time, well beyond probably the purpose you originally bought it for? Is that true? I mean, I'm just trying to judge for sure to make sure that making this kind of purchase is something that is really going to be valuable for us. And my thought is we're going to find more things to use it for than we think. And I'm curious if that's been your experience too.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I'm going to put in drainage along my driveway. And I know I don't have to call one of my neighbors and pay them $70 an hour to dig a trench. You know, I can just, me and my buddies are like, hey, get the tractor out. Oh, okay. You know, and then we do it.
I think one side of it, and it might be a little bit more of a cavalier attitude about it, but I've never been stuck with a piece of equipment. So one of those scenarios where I bought a piece of equipment and I've used it and found all these different things, and then I decide to upgrade to something because I want to do something else, I usually get at least 95% of my money back, sometimes 100% of my money back, when I've gone to sell the tractor or to, you know, sell it to the next party after even using it for a short period of time. So you might buy something, decide to use it, find out it's not the right thing. A lot of people are really afraid, oh, I'm going to lose a ton of money by trying to sell this or move on. Well, tractors, like we said in the beginning of the show, hold their value. So even if you buy it, find out that it doesn't do what you're looking for. It only does like 50% of the stuff you wanted to do. To get out of it and get into the next thing, it's a good way, you know, start with something small, figure out how you use it, and then as your need grows, you can always sell that device or that tractor and then buy the next size up, try that for a while, and kind of figure out where the sweet spot is.
That's actually a really compelling argument, because when you start adding up how much you can conceivably spend on renting these things for a day or a weekend, you know, that's a lot of money. And, you know, that adds up very quickly if you're looking at a situation where these things keep their value so well that if you used it for a while, and when you were done using it, you're able to sell it for 95% of its value, you're probably ahead there.
And I mean,
renting it.
one other thing to put in the equation too is the condition of the tractor on how you take care of it versus, you know, the next person and so on. You'd be surprised what a pressure washer will do to the value of a tractor. I've bought a tractor and it was in really bad condition. You know, we did some grease cleaning in the engine compartment. We fixed a bunch of leaky pieces on it just to make it nicer for ourselves. And then when we went to sell it, you know, we were able to get actually an extra $500 out of it just because it was in a much better condition, you know, spray painted some of the rust up and, you know, fixed it up. I actually found a John Deere 318 tractor when we were kind of prepping for the show. I was like, I'm going to see if I can find something that might fit into what Aaron might be looking for. I found them as cheap as $1,000 and as high as $5,000. And the main difference is, how did it look? Like the $5,000 one, the wheels were new. The outside of the housing was all new, everything else. The $1,000 one looked like a rusty pile. I mean, it basically worked, but you could easily buy something like that, have it work, and just fix it up as time goes along.
Great idea.
Wow, now it's exciting. It's like this vicarious thrill of helping Aaron buy a tractor.
I think everybody should leave a comment or send you a message and just throw in their ideas. Because, I mean, I'm guessing there's a bunch of people talking to the radio right now. Because talking about tractors is like talking about pickup trucks. Some people like Ford. Some people like Chevy. Tractors, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, wow. I'd love to hear some feedback from people on it.
My other thought was, if you buy a used tractor, do not take it to the dealer for repair, because they're just going to nail you. I mean, it's like if you buy a used Subaru, you take it to your local foreign car mechanic. You don't take it to the Subaru dealer. And I would just ask around. Maybe you know someone at the local ag store, the local feed store. Hey, do you know anyone that works on tractors around here? Because that person might have a few tractors that he's bought and fixed up and sells them on the side to make additional money. Or it's just good to know them to fix your tractor, or they might even know some tractors that are for sale. Word of mouth is, I think, the best way to buy one.
That's a great idea. Good deal.
All right, we have dead air here. Will, start talking.
Sorry, I had it muted. I was coughing.
Thought you were chugging another Red
Bull.
Well,
you guys are a font of knowledge on tractors, so thank you for sharing that information. That's quite helpful.
I would say slow and steady is the best way to go with regards to it. If you just jump in and buy something blindly, there's a good chance you get burned. If you've looked at a certain model number that, you know, fits your fancy, you know, just flipping through online and go, oh, the John Deere 318 is a model that I like, you know, search it for a couple of weeks and see what comes up. Springtime actually is a really good time to buy tractors, because a lot of people, when the snow goes away in Wisconsin, they've got stuff in the yard they want to get rid of, or they're cleaning out the barn. You know, there's a lot of estate sales. And interestingly enough, I've actually picked up implements at estate sales, and they've been ridiculously good deals, because let's say a farm, you know, is shutting down or getting split up or changed or whatever, and they're selling off the equipment. It's kind of like used furniture. Sometimes the equipment, people are just trying to liquidate it to get rid of it, because the tractor's long gone, but they've got all the implements laying around and they got nothing to use them for, so they'd rather have the cash.
Yeah. All right.
Gosh, so I feel like I should hire you guys to buy a tractor for me.
You could just pay for my airline ticket. I'll be there.
Right. Okay.
No, we can't let Eric come back to Wisconsin. Sorry. That's part of the rule. Eric cannot come back to Wisconsin.
I love it there. So, all right. So, everyone, do you have some tractor experience or tractor thoughts? It's radio@gardenfork.tv would be the best way to get hold of us. And you can find Erin at her fabulous YouTube channel, The Impatient Gardener. Just amazing information there. Plus her website. And Will just posted a new video to his YouTube channel, The Weekend Homestead. And we've talked about the Pinecone Cabin, but you have a video and a live stream about the Pinecone Cabin there, right?
I was surprised at how many questions we got with regard to that cabin. It was interesting how it got a little out of control.
Yeah. We can talk about that in the after show, which is the part of the podcast the Garden Fork patrons get. But for the moment, radio@gardenfork.tv, and we would love to hear guys. So drive safe and go out and do cool stuff. Thanks for listening. Garden Fork Radio's executive producer is Jimmy Gutz. You can find more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes at hollowbooks.com. Our theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com. Other music used in the show is used under license from audioblocks.com.